want to address the question, where's the scar tissue? I have over the last few years wrestled with the idea, and y'all gonna probably initially laugh at this until I really try to explain it. I have wrestled with the idea of being myself. What that really means, because a lot of times people have an automatic impression about what you're supposed to be. And I would think after all these years of preaching, teaching, pastoring, that people would have caught on to the idea that all of us that are called to this work,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're some pretty ordinary people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And before I go any further, and before you tune me out, this is not going to be a defense of being a human being as a leader.
Ooh, you better say it this morning.
But it is, at least this morning, the opportunity to give message and to be witness. Because sometimes people look to their pastors and their leaders to give word, but sometimes we don't always give testimony as to who God has really made us to be, which ultimately has not always helped people when they needed the help the most.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if you don't mind trying to tear down some stuff,
yes, sir,
in order to help in building up some stuff at the same time. This is what I was talking about. It will scare me half to death. I am the product of insecurity, low self-esteem. I am the product of longing for affirmation. I am the product of
Hallelujah.
I'm the product of bullying.
Hallelujah.
I'm the product of being suicidal.
My Lord,
I am the product of not knowing my own worth.
Yes, sir.
And all those things have informed the way that I interact with people, the way that I lead, the way that I approach ministry. It has literally caused me to look at the framework of ministry through a lens where the question that's raised is been raised, but y'all don't realize how much all this is actually working together today, from what you're going to see after church and what's been already said. Sister Lisa, and P.S., I'm so proud of you.
Amen.
I look at things through the lens of where can folk go? And who can people go to when they are literally living in a world that seems to be in a constant cycle?
Yes.
Where everything is constantly moving. Where even on your best day, life, responsibility, purpose, destiny, fear, hope, internal struggle seem to close in. That is why when you see, when sometimes if you catch me in private, my speech about ministry, my approach when it comes to people, the tenor of my voice changes. My facial expression changes. Matter of fact, if you've caught me at any given point, you have probably seen the face that says, my zero tolerance has gone beyond zero. It has gone to absolute zero. Y'all know about, you know, absolute freezing according to science, right? It gets there because I remember being the boy that came to Jesus, and after my conversion, being the boy, not the man, but the boy who needed to know that somebody cared about what was going on in me that I could not explain.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I needed to know that Jesus was as real as I read. I needed to know that Jesus was as real as my mother and everybody in the choir sang about. I needed to know that when I felt worthless, that God really thought I was worth something. And, wait for it, when I reached the place at 12 years old, when I said I didn't want to live, I needed the God who came through walls and when doors were closed. I didn't know. That's what I was asking for, because I was just 12 years old and I said, I must not be worth much and I got to get out of here before I find out that for the rest of my life I'm worthless.
Preach, Pastor. Preach, Pastor. Come on now.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Come on.
That's why I look at things different. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because he entered into a womb. Oh,
thank you. Thank you,
and when I tried to check out,
thank you, Lord. Thank you,
his
Jesus.
Hand checked in.
Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
And I learned for the first time what it meant to be in the womb. Mm-hmm. With a risen, formerly wounded Christ. It's not like I didn't have days after that.
So good. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
But I'm grateful that the Lord will enter the womb. And not just enter into the room, but he'll enter the room and show me his scars. Y'all still praying?
Yes.
This ain't easy.
Yes.
Because I'm telling y'all that scars are a necessary ministry. And if you don't get nothing else, get this. Scars are not ugly. Scars. Let me give you the end of the story. End of the story before we get to it. Scars indicate you've been healed.
Hallelujah.
So, imagine being Thomas, and I want people to stop dogging. Hey, can y'all stop doing that, please? Because stop dogging it, because 85 to 90% of us that go to church every Sunday are Thomas. In some way, shape, or form, we do not want to take the word of somebody else. At least I don't. I don't need you to tell me. Okay, let me lighten the mood for a second. As much as I like to eat, I don't want nobody telling me about a place having bad food, and I know that your taste buds are totally different than mine. I don't want you to tell me about a wing joint, and I like eating my stuff hot, and you say the stuff is too hot, and then I go there, and I'm like, you just can't handle that. I can't take your word. I can't trust it. So Thomas heard Jesus came back.
Yes.
Showed up to his boy.
Yes.
Matter of fact, Jesus came into the room. Doors were locked and closed. He came in there anyway. And they saw him. And they were like, hey, man, you should have been here. And he's like, all right, I should have been there, but I still don't believe you. So, unless I see them, ain't gonna believe. So, a week later,
yes,
same place. Thomas was there. Mm-hmm. Jesus showed up same way.
All right now, all right.
And Jesus being Jesus. He's like, all right, you need the evidence, right? Come here. Check the prints.
All right.
Don't come at me unbelieving, but check the prints.
All right now.
And believe. Put your hand here, believe. I need you to know that what you heard, what you witnessed, what you know about me suffering, bleeding, dying did happen. But I am here. And when he examined everything, he said, my Lord and my God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Brothers and sisters, in this day where people are questioning the faith, they are questioning what it means to follow Jesus. They're questioning the very nature of him rising from the dead. You have people that are in positions in seminaries saying, I don't believe because it ain't nothing but a story. In a day where people are looking for hope and looking for something to happen and looking for something to change, you got a lot of people lining up like Thomas and saying, you know what? I can't roll with you. I need to see some evidence. And here's the crazy part. We are the evidence. But listen, here's where it gets interesting. If we are the evidence, that means this. And here's where it's about to get tight. It means that you and I have to stop spiritually making up places that we call ugly. We have to actually stop trying to mask and cover up the scars of our journey. You have to actually make up in your mind that you can't live this life anymore. That's the rub. Scars are not aesthetically pleasing.
No, they're not.
but they tell a story.
Yes. Yes.
Scars make people that are self-conscious feel like they are even less attractive because they have them. But they tell a story. They remind me too much of what I went through, and I don't want to ever remember it again. But ladies and gentlemen, you cannot afford to create spiritual amnesia about your journey. Because if you ever forget where God brought you from, you ain't got nothing to talk about. So let me help you out. About scars. Scars have a great ministry. Scars have a necessary ministry. Scars are only as ugly as you make them out to be. But if you really look at it, you got something beautiful in it, because if nothing else, whatever you went through, the scar is telling you you can't go back into stuff. So let the scars talk. Yes. What Amen. Do scars reveal?
Yes.
One, they reveal that you got a record of going through trials.
Wow.
It gives an actual record that you have gone through something. Nobody wants to deal with people that are so self-righteous that they appear like they have never been through a test. Everybody on planet Earth has had somebody or something intercede on your behalf when it came to something.
Yes.
My God, if you applied to college, for instance, you needed somebody in the admissions office to say yes. I'm going somewhere. If you applied for a job, you needed somebody in HR to say yes.
All right.
If you have ever gone and shopped in a store and used a credit card, your credit line had to say yes. Everybody that's in the hand of God has a story.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You did not arrive where you are.
That's yes, right.
Just because you said one day, Lord, I love you. And I receive your salvation. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. And I will wait on you patiently until you arrive on my behalf. Nobody has ever nobody that really loves the Lord has ever gone. No. No. Man, if it was that easy, there'd be no need to ever preach this hard. I would never have to teach. Sermons would be 5 minutes, teaching would be 15, and my God, everybody would jump. Rich folk.
Yes.
Some of the most prominent people that are rich, most of them started off broke. I'm talking prominent people. They will tell you, no, I didn't have, no, I don't want to listen to Bill Gates. No. I know he has some help, but he has some money help. And when I look at like the CEO of Amazon, have you ever seen the picture online where Amazon.com started off in his garage with one phone? And a sign that he made that said Amazon.com. Wow. Now Amazon is $1 trillion company.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Wow.
I said trillion. It's a $1 trillion company. And almost everybody in here has been influenced by it.
Yeah.
When you felt lazy, you didn't work out your house? Calm down, my God. Get at the house right now. I don't want to deal with nobody at the store. I'll pay the markup on the milk. Just get it to my house in the next 2 hours. But he started off where there was no guarantee that it would work. And he was ahead of his time. And the moment it clicked,
it took off.
I would love to hear his story. Everybody know about Tyler Perry and all that stuff. Everybody love all his stuff. But remember, when he got discovered, he was living out of his car. He was talented, but he wasn't rich yet. And one moment, on a show, everything took off. Now he almost owns everything in Atlanta.
Wow.
Everybody got a story. If somebody runs into you, what you telling them?
What you telling them?
They're going to look at you and they're like, oh, they love one of them holy rollers and you just... They're going through hell and high water and you know it. And the thing about your life could actually help them. Notice what Jesus did. And I didn't even think about this until I left Claire today and I had one little 2-minute conversation with a member. He said, because he was confused by something, he said, you said that Thomas touched the Lord. Yes. But remember when, in another text, it said that when the women saw, he said to the women, don't touch me because I haven't gone up to see the Father. I said, yeah. He's like, was that before or after? And I told him the chronological order. But here's what's interesting. Jesus, according to the chronological order of things, broke something with one group of people to make and bring about evidence to a different person. They believed that they didn't have to touch him. But he was so far gone, he needed to what? Have some tangible evidence. Which lets me know that God loves us so much that no matter where you are on the spectrum, he will meet you right where you need to be met. And sometimes you might be the answer to somebody's prayer. And your story might be the answer to their prayer to know that you can make it and survive and overcome and make it through the storms of life. Everybody, but sure enough, he got plenty of people up in here that got plenty of story to tell about being healed, being delivered, being saved, being redeemed, being lifted, and all that kind of stuff. It's not just on one person. Everybody has a record of going through trials. Two, scars tell you a testimony of deliverance. Check me out. Come on. Come on, Thomas, you see it?
All right, yeah.
Everything you saw, it happened. Everything you heard, it happened. I was nailed to the cross, it happened. I was whipped, it happened. All that stuff, it happened. You know what crucifixion is for the believer? It is full exposure. So guess what? I don't know why people try to hide some of their past. When you know in your circle, everybody knows. And if any of us were nosy, all we had to do is ask the right people, and they tell all your business anyway. So it's better that you tell the story than somebody else.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Better you.
Preach, Pastor.
All right. I have no siblings, but look, if any of you, then your brother or your sister. Because you're trying to let okay, you know. Like that front all the time about, like, you know, yeah, kids do what they do. You know, we all do that. And then you get the right person. Like, nah, chief, you. Nah, you need a little bit more than what I do. And then like, you know, wait, that was my pack. Stop covering up. You know what you've been through. But watch this. Your journey ought to inform how you help somebody who has gone through what you I ain't gonna quote unquote tell you what you need to do, mm-hmm. but let me share with you what I didn't do and how God got me through that so you don't make what? The same mistake.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes.
I don't have to tell my son. When he get old enough, I'm going to look at him square in the face. He's going to look at me one day, be like, look, Dad, listen. And he's going to tell me something I don't want to hear. Yes. And my prayer is in advance of that day.
Yes, sir.
That I am strong enough as a parent to be able to look at my son.
Yes.
Get the first thing out of the way, like, what in the world going on? Right. But after that, be able to sit him down, look at him and say, listen, Dad, mm-hmm. you are not the first. And you won't be the last that has dealt with this and be able to look at him and say, like I said, I'm praying now. Because, see, some people, they want to pray when it comes. And all that stuff. I'm praying in advance. He's 4, so I'm praying 12 years in advance. Because the day may come, and I'll be like, listen, you're not the only person that has ever gone through this. You will not be the last person to go through this. I went through this, and I went through that, and I want you to know I'm not telling you what to do, but I am telling you, you can survive. Because if I'm still here looking at you, that lets you know that you can make it. See, that's the approach sometimes. Sometimes you ain't got to tell folk what to do. Just be a witness and share your testimony. Like, man, listen, yeah, it was a mess. Yeah, I made some bad choices. Yeah, I dated some folk that lost their ever loving mind. I fooled around with some folk that don't have good sense. And the reason I did was because I ain't have good sense either. But look at what God can do. God can deliver you from being a fool. Standing there saying, check it out. I went through it. You saw it, but I overcame it.
Yes, sir.
That's what your testimony says.
Yes, sir.
You overcame
yes, sir.
What you went through. But what's the last thing those scars say? That you know how to endure a process.
Yes.
Most of the stuff that we go through is not always bad.
No.
But it's necessary. And it's to what? Work out something that has to get out of you. What you're going through, what you're struggling with, is a process that is to get out of you what really is in you. Nobody wants to meet somebody that calls himself a believer and hear about, well, it just happened. No. It didn't just happen. I didn't get to a place of faith just because now I got faith.
Yes, that's right.
No, I had to go through some stuff.
Yes.
I had to be broke
yes.
for real
yes.
to know that he was Jehovah Jireh. I wish I never had to, but I went through some deep depression
yes.
to find out that he is Jehovah Shalom.
Yes.
And watch this, even in those depressive moments,
yes.
it ain't like they just went away. He showed me that his provision and his peace work together because I ended up going to somebody to talk about it.
Yes.
Come on, let's talk about it.
Hallelujah.
I had to go through heartache
mm-hmm. mercy
to know that he's still the lover of my soul.
Hallelujah. Yes.
That he could love me like nobody
like
else. And that he loved me so much he would give me a circle that would love me just like he does.
That's right. That's right.
So why not roll up my sleeves and say, you know what? Here they are.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mercy.
came from a woman's shelter in the area where I was pastoring. We had started to branch out and started to try to reach more people. And she sat front row. And I remember when we opened the doors of church and gave the invitation, all this stuff. That we gave the invitation, we also would pray. If folks weren't going to join, we're going to pray for them. Either way, it's going to be that way. She wanted to give her life to Christ. She probably wasn't going to be able to come back to the church because her situation should tell you that she needed to be in a safe space. She came up to me and she said, would you pray for me? And I said, yeah. And as she came, she said, I need prayer, but I'm too ashamed to say why. And I looked at it, wasn't on the mic. I told her, I said, there is nothing that God can't fix and nothing that God can't heal. Yes. And I believe that.
Yes. Hallelujah. That's right.
And so she felt in that moment safe enough to roll back her sleeve. Mind you, it was warm at that time. It was like spring going into summer. And she rolled her sleeves, and I saw on both of her forearms multiple cuts. She was a cutter. And it wasn't just like a couple, all up her both forearms. And she said, I just feel so ugly. And like I disappointed God. And I said to her, God is not disappointed.
That's right. That's right.
Because you came. And I laid my hands on the cuts.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And I said to her, even in this, God can heal what these cuts have revealed.
Mercy.
I never saw her again. I hadn't seen her in probably almost 10 years. But
I believe that's right.
That if she got anything that day, then I believe, I don't know what's happened since, but I believe at least on that day, she got what she needed and she didn't know she needed. Some of you are like her.
Yes.
Trying to cover up the stuff.
Yes. Yes.
No. Don't do that. Because somebody's going to be blessed.
Yes. Yes.
By your scar.
Yes. Right. Yes. Jesus.
Somebody's going to be blessed by your scar. Somebody's going to be blessed by your scars.